You're listening to Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Sean Akers. November is National Adoption Month, and with the overturning of Roe v. Wade earlier this year, adoption has become more important than ever. There are 2 million families waiting to adopt in the U.S. alone. After this sponsor break, Herbie Newell, who is the president of Lifeline Children's Services, the largest evangelical adoption agency in our country, says he believes that adoption is essential for building the future of families in America.
Read more stories on spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine. Go to mycharismashop.com and enter in the promo code CPN to receive 10% off the price of a subscription.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Sean Akers of Charisma News. And if you weren't aware that November is National Adoption Month, and for the overturning of Roe v. Wade earlier this year, this is especially important right now. There are more than 2 million families in the United States that are waiting to adopt a child. My guest today is Herbie Newell. He's the president of Lifeline Children's Services, the largest evangelical adoption agency in the country. And he believes that adoption is essential for building the future of families in America. Welcome to Charisma News this morning, Herbie. I know that we just talked and we're both Alabama fans, and that makes you extremely blessed.
Yeah, that's for sure. So just grateful for that commonality. And, you know, I guess we can say we're about nothing but the best. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's talk about your organization. Have things amped up for you guys since the overturning of Roe v. Wade in June?
Yeah, for sure. We've actually seen things that ramped up even in May when there was the leak and kind of this hint that that's where we were going. We've seen a whole lot of women that are calling us, asking us for our services. I would say that even our calls and our number of clients has almost doubled, especially since June 24th when the decision was released. And we're able to walk life with these women and help them choose life and help them to just decide what is best for both them and their child.
Well, in what ways is your organization specifically important for Christians? You know, the Bible says we need to care for orphans and widows, but that's what pure and undefiled religion is. Sometimes that means adoption, but what other ways can Christians help?
That's right. You know, if you look throughout God's word, even as what you've said, you know, James 1:27, that word is actually to visit, and it doesn't mean just to adopt, but it really is. It's the same word that's used when in the Psalms it says God visited his people or God came down. And so it's really the Lord telling us, hey, it's our responsibility as believers to take care of the most vulnerable, to take care of the widow and the orphan. And in so doing, some of the ways we can do that is just by taking notice to the most vulnerable, just showing them attention, leaning into their hurt and their pain. We can also help provide for their needs in a tangible way, but also by praying for orphans and vulnerable children. And then two, we can come alongside and help adoptive and foster families by helping and support them financially, or just coming around and helping them with some of their emotional needs, or being there to do some physical things around the house to help them be able to really focus on this new child and this child that's come home through adoption. But then also, even as we go around the world missionally, we can visit orphans and vulnerable children as we go and be a huge catalyst to ministry that's happening to them around the world. And so I hope that the Church of Jesus Christ will not say, well, I'm not called to adopt or foster, so I don't know what to do, but that we will do things and actually go before the Lord and ask him, what do you want us to do in a tangible, physical reality that will help these vulnerable children here at home and around the world?
There's a lot of services that you guys perform. Obviously, you just talked about a few. Just talk about how comfortable you guys can make a potential family for adoption.
Yeah, so for sure, one of the things we really want to do is prepare well these families that the Lord has called to adopt or foster. And we want to make sure that we're stewarding their family well. Obviously, we believe from a biblical worldview that the basis of every society is family. The place for children to flourish and to grow is family. And so we want to make sure that these families are well equipped to bring this child into their home. You know, one of the things we look at is the beauty of adoption, the idea that a child has come into a family. But there's also the messy of adoption. You know, every adoption starts with a loss for a child, a loss of a family, a loss of an opportunity to be with a family. And so we want to prepare those families to love on those children, to minister to them well, and to ultimately have a home where they won't just find, you know, three square meals, a bike and those types of things, but ultimately that they can be discipled and introduced to the gospel of Christ Jesus. And so by wrapping around these families and preparing them well, we not only help them to thrive as a family, but ultimately to be disciple makers in their home.
We always hear stories about how long the adoption process takes. How long actually does it take, and how do you prepare families to go through this process?
Yeah, so the process can take a long time. It's very fluid because of all these different situations, starting with international. International is a little bit more defined, especially pre-COVID. It was a little bit more defined where we knew exactly what the timeframes were. And most of those timeframes are between a year and a year and a half. On the domestic side, which I think is where those timeframes fluctuate so much, a lot of that is because it's driven by a mom. It's driven by the children who need families at the time. And so if a family comes in and they have, you know, an idea of what they're willing to accept, maybe they want a newborn, maybe they have different parameters they put on there, it does make that time period very variable. And so for some families, as a matter of fact, a family I was talking to even this week, they finished their home study and literally got a call that a baby had been born and that mom wanted them to be the family. For other families, it can take anywhere to 2 to 3 years. And so it's just it varies on both the birth mother's decision, but also the children that are available and that need homes at the time that a family applies.
Well, you mentioned this earlier, but talk about the counseling and the support that you give these potential families and also families that have already adopted.
Yeah, so one of the things that we do as a ministry is we provide counseling and education ongoing for these families. And so we have an education curriculum called Bridge Education Services. And what we realize is that many times kids, especially kids that have been brought into the home internationally, or maybe kids have come into the home from a great amount of trauma, maybe out of foster care, sometimes they'll struggle in the classroom. And so what we really want to do is help families be able to design an educational plan that will help these children not just survive in the classroom, but ultimately to thrive. But then also we want to counsel these families. And again, the goal that we see of adoption, and we think it's very biblical, is that ultimately we're to train up a child in the way that he should go. And that means to share the hope of the gospel, to teach them about God the Father. And if these kids who are coming into our home are having a hard time adjusting, or if their trauma is overcoming them, then it's going to be very hard for these families to really be able to reach their heart. And so we want to counsel these children and these families ultimately to be the ones that are discipling these children, that are pointing them in the way that they should go. And we hope and pray that these children won't just be adopted once physically, but ultimately they'll be adopted as well into the family of God.
And as a whole, how much do these children, do they respond to the Jesus part of it? Just talk about how you counsel them, you know, about Jesus.
Yeah, so it's a hard for a lot of kids, you know, especially kids that are coming into the home older, that may have been abandoned or may have lost their earthly father. For some, even that maybe have been abused by that earthly father, and that's the reason that they lost the ability to be in their biological family. For many of these children as well, they've grown up with single moms, and maybe a mom's boyfriend has hurt them or abused them, and so they come in with this wound, this daddy wound. And so a lot of times it's helping them overcome to understand that the physical reality that they think of as father is not the spiritual reality of father. And then for some kids, they come in and because adoption is such a strong reality and a positive reality in their life, the whole idea that we have a God that's ready to adopt, as Romans 8 says, and not leave us as slaves, but bring us in as sons, and that we receive sonship through the spirit of adoption. They read a passage like Ephesians 1 or Galatians 3 and 4, and that comes alive, that there's a God that's willing to pursue their soul and bring them into a home. And so a lot of it really depends on the background of that child, and it depends on how they see adoption. Do they see it as the beautiful thing that it is, or has it been a hard and a messy process?
Well, obviously, you know, many parents want to adopt a newborn baby. Sometimes that's just not possible. Talk about how important it is to nurture the kids that are, you know, younger, 4 to 9, 4 to 10 or whatever. Just talk about that.
Yeah, so right now we have about 424,000 children in U.S. foster care, and at any given point, about one out of three of those are available for adoption. So they've had their parental rights terminated. And so you take that almost 150,000 kids that at any given point are available for adoption. Most of those children are not infants. Most of those children are, as you say, four and older. And it's really important that we realize as a pro-life generation that the one thing in common with all of the kids in foster care is that their parents chose life. They chose to give birth to this child. And so as a pro-life generation, I think it's important that we not only look at our ability to take in an infant or to even go overseas and bring a child home internationally, but we look at these 150,000 children here in U.S. foster care that need a home. And yes, some of these kids have experienced trauma. Some of these kids have experienced abuse. Some of these kids have been in homes and have even been have had behavioral issues. But it is viable that we come alongside and we care for these children because they need a home, they need a place to flourish, and they need a family that's going to be a consistent place of care and a consistent place of discipleship.
Well, I noticed on your website, there's also an online course that people can take, potential parents or whatever. Talk about that. It sounds interesting.
Yeah, so we have our curriculum called Rooted in Love. And again, it's that whole idea, kind of the analogy that we use is the idea of a tree. And if you want to see these children, if you want to see your family bear fruit, then you've got to be rooted and grounded first in the love of God. But then there are other things that we need to learn. And so we want to build that tree for these families. We want them to know what it's going to look like, what to expect. You know, it's just like what Jesus says when he even says, hey, deny yourself and take up your cross. He says, count the cost. You know, whenever a man builds a tower, he considers the cost. He considers, does he have what he needs? And so what we want families that are called to adoption, we want them to count the cost. We want them to think about, what does this mean? What does this mean for my family? We want to prepare them well so that they know what they're getting into, because this is a whole lot bigger than building a tower or building a house. This is building a family, and this is the life of a child and the life of these families. And so we really want to make sure that we're coming alongside of these families. We're preparing them well, but we're also helping them understand what adoption looks like even at the very beginning so that they don't come in blind, but they understand what to expect.
Well, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, Herbie. Talk about and give us a couple of impactful stories that you have all come across in the last few years.
Well, I will tell you one of the most impactful stories that I've heard recently, and I think it's very apropos for this moment, especially looking at a post-Roe world, is earlier, about a year ago, we had a young lady who actually drove to an abortion clinic in order to have an abortion. What most of your viewers and listeners may not realize is that in the abortion clinic, by law, they're there to do an ultrasound so that they can get a snapshot of what is in the womb. And so this sonographer was doing this ultrasound, and her face kind of, you know, made a check where this woman said, hey, what's wrong? Is everything okay? Are you surprised? And the lady says to this precious woman, she says, don't worry about it. We're going to get the doctor in. He's going to do this procedure. Everything's okay. And she said, well, I want to see that ultrasound before I have the procedure. And the sonographer's like, you don't need to do that. You're resolute that this is what you need to do. Let's go ahead and have this abortion procedure. And she said, no, ma'am, I need to see that picture. And so they show the picture around, and it wasn't just one baby, but it was two babies. And this lady said that the Spirit of the Lord just really leapt upon her. She was not a Christ follower at the time, but she had grown up in a Christian environment. She knew the truth. And she said she left that abortion clinic. Well, as the Lord would have it, literally within 5 minutes, her uncle, who had been a huge advocate in her life and also a Christian witness to her, calls her and says, hey, Lily, what are you doing? Where are you? I've been praying for you and just wanted to call you. And she said, well, please don't think less of me, but I almost aborted my two twins that I just found out I'm pregnant with. And so we were able to work with Lily, and she was able to place those twins. It's an open adoption scenario, so she still has contact with both that family and that child. But now Lily is actually counseling other women in the similar situations. And so we see what the adversary would have meant for evil, the Lord used for good, not just on behalf of those children, but now even Lily in the last year has been able to minister to women in similar situations and help them choose life.
That's the power of the Holy Spirit and what it can do. I'm sure you've seen a lot of that, though.
Oh, 100%. You know, even at the beginning of the year when Russia invaded Ukraine, on that day, we had a family that was supposed to have a court case for a little girl with a severe case of cerebral palsy. And of course, because of the war, that was canceled. But by God's grace, after about 2.5 months, we were able to get that little girl into Poland, where she's now with her family and has had some life-giving stories. And that story and the story of Lily could be replicated each and every day with what we just see the Lord is doing. Because truly, when his people are willing to follow his commands to care for the most vulnerable, he answers in a very big way, both for his glory, but also for the gospel.
Well, Herbie, how can potential parents contact your organization and, you know, simply get more information about it?
100%. They can always go to our website at lifelinechild.org, and we have resources throughout our website that could be helpful in digging information. You know, one of the things we didn't talk about is, unfortunately, adoption is costly. And we actually have an ebook on our website that talks to families about how to adopt without debt, how to adopt with grants, and how to get your adoption journey paid for completely. Also, they can visit us on social media. All of our handles are at Lifeline Child, so at Lifeline Child on all of the major social media.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to tell our audience? Anything else that we might have missed?
Yeah, I just want to reiterate to the audience, you know, I think we do talk a lot about adoption and foster care, but there's a lot of things that we can do. And so I hope they'll go to our website. We have a Families Count program, which is our family reunification program. We need women who are willing to minister to women that are walking through vulnerable pregnancies. We have our Heritage Builders program, which is walking alongside of kids that are aging out of foster care. So there's lots of ways that you can get engaged, even if your family isn't at a place where adoption or foster care is a legitimate thing for you to seek.
Well, we certainly do appreciate that, and we appreciate you, Herbie. This is Herbie Newell. He's the president of Lifeline Children Services. It's the largest evangelical adoption agency in the country. And Herbie, again, we see the Holy Spirit just all over your organization. And again, we appreciate what you do. And we just wish you the best of everything going forward.
Thank you, Sean. And I appreciate the opportunity.